We've been talking about the reality of being in Christ, because that's what the feast of the Lord, those feasts that were given of God as a testimony of Jesus Christ, that's what they are pointing to, our being in Christ. And of course, Christ being in you. We went through that for 2 years in those Wednesday classes, bringing that right over into Christ. And I'm continuing to just, having brought that over into Christ, to just look at that reality. Look at that reality as it is now, fulfilled, made complete, our union with Christ. And so we welcome you to our session today, and may the Lord just bless us together. Much of our gatherings, much of the gatherings of our church world has been disturbed recently by the medical crisis that is upon us. But I was thinking about that. Nothing that is real in Christ has been touched. Nothing that is truly gathered in Him has ceased to be gathered in Him. Nothing. Some of the demonstrations of that in church buildings and around the world maybe has been disrupted some, but there's a lot of things that disrupt those kind of meetings and those kind of gatherings, and has disrupted some here with us and for this period of time. But the reality that we're talking about in these sessions, the reality of our being in Christ, has not been touched, cannot be touched. So that our being gathered together in Christ is, in reality, is not really hindered, but our being gathered together in Christ is not fulfilled by our coming and gathering in one building either at any time. Now, the types and shadows of that were, because those were the coming of all of Israel and being gathered at the time of the feast. And at the time of the feast, the Lord appeared and spoke to Israel, and all that took place there. It was both the cementing and the acknowledging and the reality of a relationship that the Lord established with Israel and wanted them to live in that relationship. And it was those feasts that were established of the Lord that gathered all of Israel from all over the land, gathered Israel together. That has been fulfilled in Christ. And I was just thinking about this a while ago. Let me see if I can find where I'm looking here. I believe it's in, let me see, Genesis. Let me turn to Genesis. Genesis 49, I think, is what I'm after here. Let me see. Genesis 49. Let me see. Genesis 49. I should have found that before we went on. Ah, here it is. Genesis 49:10. And it's where Jacob is blessing all of his sons who will become the 12 tribes of Israel, which will become the one house of Israel under the kingship and the kingdom established by Solomon. So they'll come from a promise to Abraham to 12 sons of Jacob to 12 tribes of Israel to finally one kingdom and one house of the king represented in Solomon. All of that still a type and a shadow, but you can see what's happening. God gathering the increase of one together all the way through the increase, because it all begins with Abraham's seed. With Abraham's seed, yes. And then it finally ends up with Solomon as one kingdom and one house and one king. All of this pointing to the reality of our union with Christ. And right in the middle of all of this, or at the beginning of all of this, we read in verse 10, after Jacob Jacob is blessing his sons. And he brings that together by saying, "And the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." But the original writing of this in Hebrews, the original translation here, will read like this: "And unto him the gathering of the people." Unto him the gathering of the people. Now then, all right, we've read this verse a great deal, and it's in John, so I'm going to turn to John 14. "Unto him shall the gathering," but the word "shall" is not, it's just "unto him the gathering of the people." Now listen to me a minute. In the types and shadows of the feasts of the Lord, the people were all gathered. Three times a year, all Israel was gathered. It was like the gathering unto him. The tabernacle and the temple and everything in it and the priesthood and the temple, Solomon himself, was all a type of one Son of God. All of it. All of it. Everything in the tabernacle of Moses, every sacrifice given in the tabernacle of Moses, the priesthood, yes, and the Levites. Everything about that tabernacle was a type of the person of Jesus Christ. First, the type of the person. Then, the type of the office and ministry of that person. Everything with regard to that tabernacle, gathering into itself the gatherings of the people also, everything was pointing toward the salvation that we now have. The union that we now have with Christ. Everything. And it was the same way with the temple. Everything gathered in type and shadow there in these unto one. And here's what I want you to see. It's not "shall be," but "unto him the gathering." calling that Shiloh him, speaking of Christ. Christ in his coming. Well, he is now come. And now I want to talk about that in a minute, because what I want to do today, we've been defining the church and the body as one. I want us to just think a little bit about defining our relationship with Christ. Easter should be about that relationship. It shouldn't be about a big rabbit. No more than Christmas should be about a big guy in a sleigh. Now these are traditional things that I'm saying, fine they are, and I know that. And we would just keep them as tradition instead of trying to make something spiritual out of it, because the spiritual part is fulfilled in Christ himself. And the Passover points to that. And the Passover is something that comes at this time of the year. And Easter was substituted for the Passover in the church world. But what is fulfilled in Christ is the Passover. You understand that? Because that's the reality of our salvation. Now in John 14, unto him the gathering of the people. Again, in Genesis, that is written in a way to say that there is no gathering of the people but unto him. Anything else is not a gathering of the people. And then those types and shadows, those feasts, showed that to be so. Israel, the only time that God recognized Israel being gathered together unto him was when they gathered in the determined place at the determined time. The determined place and the determined time in the determined purpose. And that's when they were gathered in God's mind, in God's sight. They couldn't just do that on top of a high hill someplace. They tried that, and that was what the heathen did. No, it had to be at the tabernacle door, the temple door, at the prescribed time, in the prescribed place, for the prescribed purpose. And so, honey, it all points to our being gathered in Christ. What I'm trying to tell you this morning, or what I want to get off, just say it, is that our coming together in a building, a small building, big building, huge building, does not define the gathering. And I'm all for the gatherings. My word, I'm part of the gatherings. We're part of the gatherings here. I've spent my lifetime preaching in those gatherings. So I'm not against the gatherings. It's just that in Christianity today, in the church world today, it seems that the focus is upon the building, the place, the edifice, and even more upon a holiday. It could be Mother's Day. Or, you know, come on. More focused upon that than it is upon the one in whom our gathering together is recognized of God. Now, if our gathering together in a home or in a building like this one or in a cathedral, if our gathering together is in an understanding of our union with Christ, then that gives that gathering some purpose on earth. But what I'm telling you is that this virus that's going around has not touched anybody in Christ, hasn't touched my life in Christ. Should it touch my body? It has not touched my life in Christ. And that's the point I'm trying to make. And the fact that we can't, you know, that there's the program going on to, you know, the social separation or whatever. All right, fine. But that doesn't separate anything in Christ, because everything in Christ is one. And it doesn't touch our gathering in Christ. So it's that gathering I'm talking about. And it is true that every gathering we have, whether by twos or threes or that many thousands, whatever gatherings we have, should be an acknowledgement of and a manifesting of or an exhibiting of our gathering in Him. Because there's only one gathering God recognizes, unto Him the gathering of the people. John 14, Jesus speaking of going to the cross, speaking of coming forth in the power of His resurrection, as was it fully exhibited on the day of Pentecost to indwell His church. But look what He says here. Starts out with, "Let not your heart be troubled." But I can't stay on just that thought. Let not your heart be troubled. Then He tells them why. Tells them He's going away, but He's going away to prepare a place. And then He defines that place by Himself. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come anew." I will come in newness. I will come anew. And He did that on the very fulfillment of Pentecost. "I will come again anew and receive you unto myself." Now, hon, that's what the type and shadows and testimony of all of the feasts of the Lord in Israel pointed to. Unto myself. In fact, it is said in the Scriptures, the Lord speaking through the prophets unto Israel, that He had raised them up, brought them out on eagle's wings out of Egypt unto Himself. And then establishing those feasts, they were gathered together unto Him in type and shadow, because the glory of the Lord appeared during those times. The Lord spoke during those times. He demonstrated that He was in their midst, and He demonstrated typically that they were in His presence on those times. But all of them were pointing not to a bunch of times yet to come, but to the fullness of time who was yet to come. And the fullness of time did come, is come, and He's Christ Himself. And He's brought us into that fullness of all of the times of Israel, honey. He has brought us into His presence, which is where I want to go with all of this, whether today or in some future sharings. Because we're brought into the presence, and that's what He said, "I will receive you unto myself." I will bring you into the presence where I am. See, it makes sense when you look at it as being the statement that He makes concerning Him being the fulfillment of all of these types and shadows given of God to Israel, particularly in the feast. "I will receive you unto myself," unto Him, the gathering of the people. Unto Him the gathering of the people. And receive you unto myself. See, we have some dispensational teaching in the church world today by some cases just really precious people that just really misguided. They take this very verse and they're still looking for its completion in time to come. Hon, in the fullness of the time, when the fullness of the time will come, God sent His Son. He's already taken care of that. He's already done that. He has already come in that way. And then He went to the cross and fulfilled the purpose of Him coming in the flesh, that He may, through His death, burial, resurrection, ascension to the Father, and coming again in His own Holy Spirit, that He might fulfill and complete that for which He came anew, together those that are His, together as one body in Himself, unto Him the gathering of the people. So wherever you are right now, if you're there in Him, and if you are in Christ, then you are there in Him. But wherever you're gathered on earth right now, whether it's in your home, wherever you are gathered together in Him with us who are here and with believers around the world. It's for the reason of understanding that and knowing that the gathering is fulfilled in Christ. Every time a believer is born from above, someone is truly born again, they become part of that gathering. Immediately, part of that gathering. Quickened together, raised together, seated together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, right then. And that's the reason from this place we desire to get the truth of that gospel which is revealed in Christ throughout the whole body of Christ and around the world, because wherever believers are found, in fact of matter, they are found there in Christ. It doesn't make any difference what country. Town, city, state, they're making a difference. In Christ, that's where we're truly gathered. And so we greet you today as those who are gathered together in Christ Jesus. Now, I'll spend a lot of time on that, but maybe it was important to do it. Because this gathering never ceases to exist. See, this isn't something that, I mean, we've got the physical problem going on. All right, fine. Which will end at some point in time. Which will pass on. But our gathering together in Him will not cease. Does not cease. And that has not ceased, hasn't in truth even been interrupted. Now, there's believers that are not aware of that reality, and that's a shame that there are so many believers throughout the church world who have no concept of our being in Christ. whose only concept of church is going to a building at least one time a week, or at least one holiday a year. And then want to get upset when they can't do that and make a really big deal out of it, and yet have no knowledge that we're gathered together in Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days in a year. And see, those are little old time elements. Get rid of those. We're gathered together in Him eternally. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. That's part of the reality of being in Christ, which is what we're talking about in these sessions, the reality of being in Christ. And that reality is right now. Now, I want to look at the word now. It hit me this morning because I was looking at some of these printouts and how important that word becomes. I want to show you something here, and just look at it. Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, I read this Wednesday in the Wednesday class, and but what we're dealing with Wednesday is the same thing we're dealing with on Sunday, and it takes more time than we have on Wednesday and Sunday to really get a whole lot said about it, because I want you to see not just the theology of it and sit here and go through that and put it in a good package, and I want us to begin in our hearts to see the reality of our union with Christ, that it's something real right now, going on right now, and nothing that is natural, nothing can touch it. Nothing can change our union with Christ. Nothing. And we need to understand that. You shall know. We've read this 100 times, more than that. Jesus said, John 14, same thing. And it goes all the way through 14, 15, 16, and 17. And you really ought to stay there a while and just go with it. You shall know in that day. It's the day of Christ. It's the day that you are the children of, born again in Christ Jesus, to grow up into Him in all things, walking in the light as He is in the light. What a glorious day. What a glorious reality we have, a glorious union with Christ. And I want us to understand that it's now. So Hebrews 8 and 9 is where we've been reading. And verse 1 of Hebrews 8 just says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum." And he prefaces this with this word, "now." Now, of the things that we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Keep that in your mind. Keep that in your mind while I read from Colossians. Colossians 3, verse 1. Let me read the verse 1 here again. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, see? If then ye be, we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And we're going to look at that just a little closer in Hebrews. And Hebrews 9, 24. Hebrews 9, 24. And I'm skipping Wednesday. We went through most of the verses from Hebrews 1, from Hebrews 8, verse 1, all the way through Hebrews 9, verse 24. And you might want to do that too. It is simply showing that the old is done away and Christ, the new, has come and fulfilled the old. You can read that, but here it is in verse 24. Let's look at verse 21 and 24. Hebrews 9. But Christ being come. Not Christ who's yet to come, not Christ who may come again, what? No. Christ being come, a high priest of the good things to come, which were spoken of in the Old Covenant and in your Old Testament, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. We've been in these sessions looking at the Lord Jesus saying, destroy this temple, I will raise it up. In 3 days, I will raise it up. So this is the better tabernacle that he raises up, because the scripture is going to say he speaks of his body. And it's his body, the body that we are. And you know we've been talking about that. I will raise it up by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Yes, the one he has raised up in himself. The one whom you now are in Christ Jesus. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And the Greek translation for this word building, and that's not mysterious, it's just the real translation of the word building here, is creation. Creation. A more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. No. It's of the new creation in Christ Jesus. It isn't made by hands. It's made by the Spirit of God. It's the creation you now are in Christ. All right? Now come. Verse 24. For Christ, and he's just trying to show the old priest did this, but the new priest is Christ. The old priest went into the things made with hands. Christ has not gone there. The old priest went into the types and shadows of heaven. Christ entered into heaven itself. Oh, hallelujah, hon. And you understand the significance of this is that the old high priest did all of this on behalf of Israel, did all of this in representation of Israel, and came back out on the Day of Atonement and showed himself to Israel so that they could see in him the completeness of their salvation for another year. Well, we see that same completeness, or at least the same word, completeness. We see the real completeness of our salvation, not for another year, but for eternity. And that's what this is all about. That's what the Hebrew writer is doing here. He's bringing everything from the first covenant into the reality and fulfillment of the second covenant. And what he is showing to those to whom, to the church, to the body of Christ, is their relationship with this high priest. Their relationship with him. The type and shadow of it shows that. But now here's the reality of it. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. They speak of the true. And therefore we understand what they speak of has had to be fulfilled in Christ. It can't be something that's not yet fulfilled, or the whole thing would be no good. The whole of the old covenant and the Old Testament that writes about would be no good, except it be fulfilled in Christ right now, which are the figures of the true. But into heaven itself, now. There's the word. Now. To appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Not that we're someplace else. We're there in Him. We're there in Him. Back to Colossians 3. Just hold this. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If you be risen with Christ, if you be there in Him, and Paul uses this, and Paul has just said the same thing over in Ephesians. I can't take time in this session to read it, so I'm going to quote it to you in Ephesians, the second chapter. In the first chapter, he establishes Christ in the heavens. In the second chapter, he establishes the body of Christ, in heaven, seated in Christ. Read it, second chapter of Ephesians, and then come to the third chapter of Colossians. Read it, read it, read it right now. Read it, read it. Today, read it this whenever you're watching this. Because he tells them that we were all in sin. Then he says, but God, who's rich, his great love, wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath, number one, born again, quickened us together by his Spirit, quickened us together with Christ as one body. Quickened us together as one body. One body. In whom he dwells. Quickened us together. Then raised us together. Then seated us together. Where? In heaven. Right where he said Christ was in chapter 1. In the heavens. In Christ Jesus. So that's what he's saying here in Hebrews. Now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf, or on behalf of those whom he has quickened together, raised together, seated together in Christ in heavens. And that's what we're reading here. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. Same thing. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead. As to all of that, you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And whenever, it's just this verse just going right on. Right on. He didn't talking about a dispensational time period here. The word in the Greek is whenever. Christ, who is now, who is our life, shall appear, shall be revealed, is the two words that are put together here. Shall be revealed. Your eyes open to see him. Seeing that God hath shined in our very soul to give the light of the knowledge of this glory of God in the very person of Jesus Christ. He shall appear in the light of his appearing. It's the fulfillment of what Israel did under the type and shadow, under the cloud, under the type and shadow. You shall also appear with him where he is. You shall appear with him in glory. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. In that day, you will know I'm in my Father. You are in me, and I'm in you. Now, hon, everything I've just quoted is saying the same thing that verse 24, right here in Hebrews 9, is saying. Colossians, Ephesians, everything I've just said here and quoted. And what is that? It is unto him the gathering of the people. We are gathered together, quickened together, raised together, seated together, gathered together in Christ Jesus. One more verse, I think. Let me see where I had it. Yes. One more verse. What am I talking about? I'm talking about now. Now. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Hebrews 9:24. Ephesians 2, verse 13. Ephesians 2, verse 13. Of course, you're going to read that whole chapter. I know you are. You need to do it. But here's the key of it. Let me read verse 24 of Ephesians, of Hebrews 9, 24. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, we being there in him. Ephesians 2, 13. He tells them about their past, where they were, what they were without God. Then he says, but now in Christ. It's the same thing. If you be risen with Christ. It's what I've been reading. It's what he says in Ephesians, what he says in Colossians, what he says in Philippians, it's what he says right here in Hebrews. Why don't we hear? Understand the reality of being in Christ. He has brought us into the presence, and we haven't talked that much about the presence, but that's all right. We've come to the end of our time anyway. But I'm telling you, you're now there. It's a now thing. Now in Christ, now in you. But now in Christ. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Read the rest of that chapter. It'll thrill you. Read the rest of chapter 2 of Ephesians, and you will see that he has gathered us together, builded us together as a habitation of the Lord by his Holy Spirit. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm going to stop right here. The reality of being in Christ just goes on and on and on, hon, as we begin to know him. As we begin to know him, who is our very life, whose very own body we now are. Thank you so much for being with us today. And Thank you so much for being with us today. And I trust that it'll be a time of recognition of blessings in Christ. And a time of focusing our view upon Him. So it's a joy to be with you. Thank each one of you who helped make this possible for us. We've had a lot of problems here with the internet, and Raven is working on that now as we're recording this session to get it up, because everybody in the United States is on the internet about this virus and about other things, and I don't know what all. And so it's difficult even for us with the connections that we have and the channel on YouTube that we have to get a session. It's like driving on an interstate going through Houston, Texas, and our Atlanta, Georgia, and Houston, Texas combined at heavy traffic time. A lot of traffic there. But we're looking forward to sharing with you in any way that we can. And I thank all of you. We do here appreciate each of you who, through your faithfulness and your support, help us reach out to you and reach out beyond you throughout the body of Christ and around the world. Thank you so much for it. May the Lord richly bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Remember, we still have our June conference scheduled. We will give you notice if we have to change that scheduling, if we have to set it for another time. Right now, it is the last full week of June, June the 22nd through June the 26th. If we have to make adjustments to that, we will let you know in plenty of time. The Lord bless. Amen.